Business Matters in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Do you want to learn how to tap into unprecedented opportunities in the food and drink industry? Then join our Higher Diploma in Food Product Innovation and Enterprise. This course is 100% online and co-funded by Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Visit lyit.ie for more information.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell and you're welcome to Business Matters. Later in the programme, I'll be speaking to the CEO and founder of Mosaic Digital Solutions for Early Education, Avril McMonagall. But first, I caught up with Economic Development Officer with Donegal County Council, Stephen Perry, to discuss the Buy Donegal campaign, which gets underway on Friday, November the 5th.
Stephen, you're very welcome to Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
Stephen, the Buy Donegal campaign is set to return for a second year next month. Tell us about the initiative and what is the ultimate aim of the programme.
Yeah, so I suppose the message of buying local and supporting local has been always been important, but probably particularly so over the last 18 months in the pandemic era. And this was really about supporting local, but maybe a little bit more than that, about showcasing Donegal business to a larger audience, to a global audience, and really just displaying the talent and the innovation of Donegal business to as wide and as large a base as we possibly can.
And a start date for the initiative?
It'll be the first Friday in November, so the 5th of November, and it'll run right through up until the end of December.
And is that with a view to making the most of the Christmas trading season?
Yes, absolutely, Kieran. What we found the campaign last year, it naturally tied in with that. And I suppose when we were looking at timings, we thought it would be a good opportunity to get the shopping lists ready, I suppose, for Christmas. And the business is very much engaged with that too, and give it a view and a feel towards that for many of them also.
It took a life of its own last year. It was only supposed to be on a short-term basis, and it sort of extended into quite a long duration.
Yeah, so I suppose we started the communications to businesses last year in September, and as with anything, it takes a little bit of time to get it through when you've modest budgets and so on. But we found it as it got momentum, and you know, our media partners, yourselves and many others, really helped to drive the message, and obviously through social media. And what we found before the weekend itself, that we had 150 plus businesses, so we knew it was something that had a lot of legs and a lot of appetite, and there was a demand from businesses, obviously, from the general public and from colleagues in the council as well to keep it going. So therefore, we extended it right up until that period last year. So the Buy Donegal weekend essentially became Buy Donegal campaign.
And how many businesses were involved last year, Stephen?
Last year we had over 250 businesses involved. Now they would have signed up at various stages, but
would that have surpassed your expectation?
Yeah, I mean we started off and we were, I suppose, with each passing week or month, we had initial targets, and probably initially for me the hope was we'd get 50, then we got 50, then it was 100, then obviously we get more and more, so it definitely, to be honest, surpassed initial expectations last year, which was a fantastic result, I suppose, for all involved.
And in terms of feedback, what was the message you were getting back from businesses and traders?
Yeah, so when the weekend itself started, we were getting kind of thank you messages from smaller businesses, as you know, thanks for this as a platform. But we just found, I suppose, the huge level of positivity, and that was, I suppose, from people within Donegal who were buying diaspora people in the UK, US. I think we had hits from over 40 countries on the website, from business networks, and a whole host, I suppose, of colleagues and employees of different businesses who just, I suppose, appreciated what was being done. There was huge levels of collaboration between Donegal businesses as well. So maybe some of those larger brands and businesses, the likes of maybe a McElhenney's or a Football Special or a Cope, they, you know, had a dedicated Buy Donegal offer which would feature their Donegal suppliers, so it helped in terms of the whole business ecosystem and one supporting each other, which was the whole ethos of the campaign, I suppose, as well.
Stephen, you mentioned the Donegal diaspora. Look, it's an opportunity for businesses and traders to showcase and advertise their service or their product all over the world, so I'm sure it's aimed as much at people from Donegal who are living abroad as those who are based in the county.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we found, a lot of people want to support, you know, a Donegal brand, want to support a Donegal business. But what I suppose the Buy Donegal campaign and through the site buydonegal.com, it gives a portal, so it gives easy access for people who want to buy that Donegal gift, and they can go onto this website and they can see that all of the businesses operating within Donegal, and they can decide, you know, from a whole list of different services, what our products, what they will purchase ultimately, and it just gives that a platform to all of the different businesses involved.
Have you found that people like to buy and give a wee bit of their home to somebody at home?
Yeah, so I suppose the whole purpose of the campaign as well was and what's helped drive it, so via social media platforms as well. So the idea is somebody logs on to the website, buydonegal.com, they choose a product or service from a Donegal business, and then they post on social media with the hashtag #BuyDonegal, and then that drives awareness. And what we found on the campaign last year, it trended in Ireland over the most of the weekend at number one, so it got noticeability, and that was what we were hoping for from the start. So it would naturally or organically drive traffic, drive conversation, drive awareness, and ultimately drive sales for Donegal businesses.
Stephen, how significant has the switch to online trading been to the success and survival of local businesses over the last 18 or 19 months?
Yeah, so I think what we've seen is, and feedback we got from businesses involved as well, was that the campaign gave them a good nudge to get maybe their website up and running, or to get their social media kind of fine-tuned, or to get their e-commerce platform in place. And I know our colleagues in the local enterprise office have given out several hundred, I think, trading online vouchers over the past 18 months or so, and that's really helped to digitalise a lot of Donegal businesses. And I think as well, where you've got a lot of very talented marketing and digital agencies within the county as well, and many of them actually are displayed on the buydonegal.com website. So they also have done a lot of work in terms of getting the businesses and improving or establishing their online presence.
So what's the message to those who want to support the campaign?
My message is to get online, to visit the site buydonegal.com and see the different businesses that are available. There are, I should probably point out as well, last year obviously we were in the midst of a level 4 pandemic, so it was largely online, whereas this year we hope that people will be able to go in store as well and very much physically purchase as well as purchasing online, and buy something from a Donegal business, whether it's in store or online. And then once you have made that purchase, just post with the hashtag #BuyDonegal through social media, whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever this your preferred platform, and that really just helps to drive that awareness for the campaign.
And Stephen, how can businesses still looking to be part of the initiative sign up?
Yeah, and I would strongly encourage any business who are not yet part of the campaign to please do get involved.
And the benefits are?
Well, there's a number of different benefits, I suppose, as I talked about. It gives that platform. So as I said, some businesses may not have a website, some may not have the social media presence, so it helps to give that, or helps to amplify their existing social media presence, because to be fair, I think a lot of businesses have really upskilled in that area. As I said, feedback from a lot of businesses was that people may not have been aware of them, because we're getting, I think we had 40,000 visitors to the site over the course of the campaign last year, so it gives an opportunity for them to be noticed. People will go on maybe and buy, we have gone on and buy one product in the past, now they're going on and buying two or three, but also the businesses involved are purchasing from each other and collaborating with each other as well, so that message has been really important as well. I know feedback as well from businesses, we had purchasers from Ecuador, from Australia, obviously from the States, the UK, so a wide range of different countries.
And finally, Stephen, how better set up are Donegal businesses online compared to this time last year?
Yeah, I suppose just touched upon already in terms of the supports from the local enterprise office, and I think what we've seen as well, even people have been using the hashtag #BuyDonegal over the course of the year. Our website had been getting a lot of hits. We've recently upgraded that and revised it for the 2021 campaign, so we've seen just digital presence, I think, has improved all of the time. I think we've seen different Donegal businesses winning digital excellence awards, so the talent and the innovation, not just within their own specific craft or trade, has also manifested itself in terms of digital presence. And I suppose just one final thing to add for the businesses, just to log on to buydonegal.com, and there's a business portal on there, so you can sign up for the campaign or update your details as necessary.
Stephen, we wish you well with the campaign, and we'll make it a bit of feedback when it's over at the start of next year.
Great. Thank you very much, Ciarán.
Stephen Perry, Economic Development Officer with Donegal County Council. Thanks for talking to us today on Business Matters.
That was Stephen Perry, Economic Development Officer with Donegal County Council. Join us after the break when we'll be chatting to Avril McMonigal.
Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Accelerate your workforce by enrolling them in one of our lifelong learning courses today. Visit lyit.ie for more information. LYIT Faculty of Business, designed by industry, delivered by experts.
Avril McMonagall is coming to the end of her third year in business, having dedicated almost 25 years to early childhood care and education. The CEO and founder of Mosaic, Digital Solutions for Early Education, began by explaining how her business has evolved.
Okay, well, initially I set up a business called Meantor in January 2019. And that was to provide professional supports to early childhood services all over Ireland. So everything from training and professional development to HR supports, policies and procedures, basically everything, a one-stop shop for everything early childhood. But I suppose that I knew that whilst this was really important to build a national client base, what I wanted to do was develop a product, and particularly a digital product. And that product turned out to be called Mosaic. And it's a digital storybook that early childhood services use to record children's learning and development. And then that connects with a matching parent app where parents can access real-time updates about their children and in the form of photographs, videos, learning stories, transition reports, basically everything and anything. To make sure that that partnership with parents thing in early education comes to real life. So we had that product in the form of an app on sale in its pilot form in September 2019, which was a pretty quick turnaround when you think about it, you know, in terms of the business only started in January and we had our first tech ed tech product out that September. And so then we were getting into our second year of sales then. With the app did really well in its pilot year, but obviously like all tech products, you know, you have a lot of issues to iron out in that first year. And then we were getting ready then to for our big sales year in 2020, and I've no need to tell you that coincided with COVID. So that necessitated us having to really rethink some aspects of the business.
Before we talk about the impact COVID had on your business, Avril, can you talk to me a bit about your background in the childcare sector?
Well, basically, early childhood care and education through and through. That's all I've ever done. I started off probably almost 30 years ago now and studied for a degree in early childhood care and education and absolutely fell in love with it.
What was the attraction?
I always had a firm belief that my value statement is it's easier to build strong children than repair broken people. And that goes through everything I've ever done and everything I believe in. I'm not a massive proponent of academic education. I always feel that it's about how we shape a person and how we shape a person in their very formative years. From our toddlers, babies, toddlers, young children, and that early intervention and that toolkit for life that we can give children, you know, confidence, resilience, self-esteem, things like that. Everything else will come naturally if we get that right. But unfortunately, most of our investment, most of our government investment goes to the latter stages in education. And then we're at that stage trying to fix something. And if we could just get it right, that we would really look at those very earliest stages. For example, I don't believe babies should be in creches under one. The government really need to get their act together and ensure that all women have full paid maternity leave for 1 year, which means that no baby should be in a creche. They should be at home with their parents.
Do you think policymakers aren't as in touch or in tune as they should be in relation to this?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Like, I mean, early childhood care and education is a public good. You know, it's something that we need, and it's something that they have basically privatised, and they, you know, the private sector had to step up and provide what is basically a public good and a public service. And we need to look at, you know, making sure that this is funded in a way that it is a public service and it's funded properly to ensure that all children have an equal chance of quality early education, regardless of their background, what county they're in, or how what the financial status of their family is.
Just going back to when you set up your business, Avril, did you do so with confidence, or a bit of trepidation, or a bit of both?
I suppose it came at a time in my life where I've always wanted to drive my own business, but I suppose, you know, when you're in a job where you're reasonably well paid and you feel that you're making a difference, you tend to go on with it. But I suppose a catalyst for me, personally at the end of 2016 was being diagnosed with breast cancer. And whilst I was absolutely one of the lucky ones and I was able to, recover from that, I decided that at that time, for a variety of reasons, the time was right. It also coincided with the birth of my first grandchild. My son and his wife had my first grandchild, and just life just started to look very, very different, and you just suddenly realised you were in a different stage of your life because, you know, your children were having children, and it was just, and of course, I mean, the Nana thing, I absolutely adore it. You know, I always feel I made a good job with my own three children, but I mean, my goodness, is the Nana thing absolutely amazing, because you can get away with being their best friend without having to do the discipline stuff, you know, so it's absolutely great. So life changed in a lot of ways around that time, and it really was about being brave and taking the step and just starting the business and see how it would go. And it is the best decision I ever made, because the creative freedom it's given me personally, the personal freedom. I mean, of course, the business is located in one of the most idyllic places in Donegal. We're down at Struve, just outside Greencastle. So the beach is looking out the office window. The beach is going for a walk in the evening. It's just an amazing place for mental headspace, and, you know, to give you that type of clarity that you need. So, yeah, went into the business and started off with one customer and slowly built it. And now we have customers all over Ireland, and we are working Mosaic now. The Educator app is in nearly every county in Ireland at this stage. And we're now ready to branch out and go international. And the next stage of the business now is the internationalisation of the app. And we're currently looking at other countries that we can take the app to. And this means, you know, uploading a different curriculum framework and different cultural values and things, which really excite me, because I'm still in the realm of early education, but now suddenly I've got somebody now to look after the operation in Ireland, and now suddenly I'm able to really dig deep into early ed in different countries, and it's just fascinating. I absolutely love it.
Errol, you have two businesses that are running sort of side by side now. How impacting was COVID on your plans?
Yeah, well, of course, as I said, 2020, that was going to be our first big year with Mosaic. The pilot had been done, and we were heading for looking like really good sales. And then all of a sudden, my sector closed down. Prior to that, I had been out doing an awful lot of face-to-face training. You know, I would hire venues somewhere. I was all over the country. I was in Offaly. I was in Dundalk. I was in Cork at one stage in late 2019. And we had sell-out training programs. So that obviously was a great income revenue for the business. And it was also letting me promote the Mosaic app in different counties while I was there. So then all of a sudden I'm closed down. Sector closed down. Everyone's at home. So what I had, the very first thing that I did was I needed to move all my training online, because there was still a huge appetite from the early childhood sector to use that time to upskill and, you know, to perfect some of their practice. So that was real concentrated work for about 5 months, where I had all the training programs, but it's a very different animal making them available on an online platform. So first we built the platform. And I got some support from the local enterprise office through the voucher scheme to do that. And that helped greatly financially. And by the end of May, we had our own bespoke training platform live. And we now have 9 9 training programs on that, which people can access freely. So whilst that was always part of the longer term plan of the business, COVID really made me bring that forward, and that helped the business survive over that really difficult period until services reopened.
And how have things been since services reopened?
Great. I mean, really, Mosaic, I suppose, the timing for the app was absolutely perfect, because suddenly early childhood services could no longer let parents into their service. I mean, that's still continuing today. Those face-to-face communications that were so important when people are caring for young children and having to communicate with their parents were gone. And you were left with very unsafe social media platforms, like, you mean, you can't use Facebook when to share information about children, photographs, things like that, because it's dangerous. It's a public platform. Even something like WhatsApp groups and things were not as secure. So we had our platform ready to go at that stage. And the interest this year has been amazing, because, you know, people just suddenly realise that things are never going to be the same again. You know, things are, we're never going to have that level of contact. And if there was ever a time to go digital in terms of communicating with parents, it's now.
Talk to me in detail about the app and the benefits of it.
Well, the benefits mainly, well, you know, the benefits are kind of threefold if you think about it, because number one, for early childhood services are highly regulated. They have a dual inspection process, some would argue a triple inspection process, and they do have to have an awful lot of documentation and things in place. Our app mainly gears towards the Department of Education compliance, which is the learning and development of the child. So this enables educators to do away with paper-based systems. Maybe, you know, in years gone by, they were completing things like scrapbooks and portfolios and maybe giving that out to the parent at the end of the year. This brings parent updates and children's learning and development into real time, where they are compiling learning stories via the app, and by the end of that day they're sending them to parents. So really taking away all that paper-based documentation for educators and meeting compliance regulations for quality is the big one for them. For children, it's really putting the focus on the individual child, and this, of course, is where my heart lies. It's no longer about generic documentation. We have devised a unique digital storybook for each child to record their learning and development from the point that they're at. So regardless if you have a child with special educational needs or a child with different developmental needs, you start at the point the child is at and you work from the child's strengths. So there's no predetermined checklist of things that a child needs. And then, of course, for parents, it's that real-time communication and connection with the school when their children are away from home.
Arvel, you're 25 years in the area of childcare. Have the challenges changed over that time, and what are the biggest challenges facing the sector now?
The challenges have certainly changed, some for the better and some not for the better. The sector is completely overregulated. We need a streamlined inspection system. You know, as I was saying, at the moment, early childhood services have compliance inspectors coming in around funding. They have somebody else coming in around quality, and they have somebody else coming in around the preschool regulations themselves. That all needs to be streamlined into a single inspection process to alleviate that stress on the sector. And in alleviating that stress in the sector, then can educators and early childhood providers really put the focus on quality service and quality provision for children, which is what we're all aiming for and we're all trying to get. But these things are in the way. Funding is also far too low. Ireland is one of the lowest funded interventions for early childhood care and education in Europe still. You know, and I've been at this for 25 years, and I've been saying this in every interview I've ever done, in every article I've ever written, as have many others. And yet we are making very small steps forward, but they're still too small. And we have to think that a child only has one opportunity at early education. It's 6 years, the first 6 years in a child's life. So if they get something right in 10 years' time, that's too late for the children that are born now today. And this is something that needs to be looked at with much more seriousness than it is at the moment.
How best can that streamlined process begin?
In terms of what you mean in terms of inspection and things like that, it's about departments coming together. I mean, you know, you have TUSLA would be one of the regulatory bodies, then you've got the Department of Education, and then you've got a PUBL under the funding streams. So, you know, it's really about somebody deciding who's going to look after early education and putting everything under that one stream.
The pandemic has impacted on all ages to some degree, Avril. Are there any indications or any information in relation to the impact that it's had on the 0 to 6 year olds?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you take it one day, children were at preschool and everything was quite normal. And then the next day, what they knew to be part of their daily routine was absolutely pulled away from them. And when then those children went back into their preschools and their creches as things decided to open up, the pressure then was on the services around COVID compliance, when it should have been only focused on the children, because these children in their most formative years, life had just changed for them completely. And that was probably one of the high points for me during lockdown, was whenever services started to report back to me how they were using Mosaic to communicate. So suddenly we were getting all these amazing stories in from services all around Donegal and all around Ireland who were saying, we're actually using our Mosaic app to tell a bedtime story to a child, to sing songs, to basically just send them wee quick videos and say hello. Some of them were even doing video recordings of the preschool and saying, look, here's all the toys and all the games and everything in the preschool. It's all waiting on you to come back. And whilst that seems like a really small thing, that was so important for young children to know that this thing, this normality that they had wasn't gone. It was just paused for a while, and those educators were keeping the connection with their children through the Mosaic app. And for me, that was just, I remember the first story that came through. I hadn't even thought about them using the app in that way. And there it was, taking on a life of its own. And then we added some new functions to it over the time of COVID to make that easier. And it just shows you the power of technology. When you're locked in four walls, technology can keep you connected.
But it showed as well that you were ready, or you had a product that was ready and was so accessible and so important at such a crucial
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Minister Michael McGrath, the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, announced in the budget there just recently that the government is to invest something in the region of €716 million in childcare over the next year, Avril. Where do you see that money being spent, and is that enough?
Well, I mean, it'll never be enough until it's up to the region of 1% of GDP, because it can't be enough, because that's what's needed, you know, as a government investment. It's too early to say, Ciarán, to be honest. I mean, too often people have come out very early and said, you know, oh, this is great. You know, if a figure's thrown out there, we have to wait. The devil is always in the detail, and we have to see how exactly that's going to be spent. What portion of what the sector already has is going to be sidelined or changed, and how this new investment is going to be used. So any investment, of course, is welcome, absolutely, and we're incrementally building on this. But I would like to see the detail and exactly how this is going to be spent. And I really hope the focus is on supporting the quality provision within early childhood services for children.
Avril, what's the best part of being your own boss now?
Oh my goodness. on a funny level, being able to sit with your best top on and your pajama bottoms at the bottom when you're doing a Zoom call. I mean, I find the freedom in that, Kieran, is just amazing. It's great, great crack altogether. The only thing is, there was one day last week I was doing a Zoom call and I had to get up to close the door, and then I remembered, you know what I mean, I was wearing my tracky bottoms in the bottom, so that wasn't a good look. But just the creative freedom that it gives me, I mean, I was a manager, and managing people is probably one of the most exhausting and frustrating things that you can ever do, because it's just impossible to please everyone. And I've always been very driven and very focused, and the freedom of not having to manage. Now, I have taken on, as I say, my first employee, and I made that very clear when that was happening, that as other staff now come on board, he will manage them. It won't be me, because I want to keep the creative juices going. I want to really be flying off to different countries to talk about Mosaic and to explore all the amazing things that are going to happen in the future, I'm sure.
Avril, you're a participant on the Acorns program, which is helping female entrepreneurs. Can you talk to me a wee bit about that and what you learned on that program?
I've been on two programs now. The first one I was on was Acorns. Yeah, absolutely fantastic program. That was me engaging with women, early start entrepreneurs all over Ireland. And really, I remember feeling a real sense of, oh my goodness, I've found my tribe, whenever I started that program, because, you know, it was just the kind of the support network that came with that was amazing. And then just recently then, I just completed the Donegal Scale X program, which put me then in a space with everyone that was in tech. So that was only tech projects across Donegal. And that opened my eyes to the international prospects for Mosaic, how to pitch Mosaic as a business. That really drove me to rebranding the business from the initial Miantor, which was very service-based and very necessary in those early days of the business to build that client base. But now we're rebranding under Mosaic Digital Solutions, because that's where our focus is going to be going forward. So we're changing very much from an all-service business to a mainly product business with some service, which is showing the growth of the business in under 3 years, which I'm absolutely delighted with. And that has been helped by both Acorns and Donegal Scale X. And we're also now part of the Awaken Hub and the Inishowen Digital Innovation Hub as well. And all these things help you to kind of find your tribe and ensure that you're part of the tech ecosystem in Donegal and beyond.
If you could speak to your 21-year-old self, Errol, what advice would you give yourself?
What advice would I give myself? Oh my goodness. Maybe calm down a bit, you know, in terms of, you know, I am a self-professed workaholic. I don't really make any excuses for that, because I know there's lots of people that try to fix you and try to say, well, you know, you shouldn't be working that hard and you should be. I think it's part of who you are. And I don't think, and you know, if I could give you a euro, Kieran, for every time somebody has advised me to start yoga. So they're obviously seeing something in me that obviously needs some kind of a yoga class. But I firmly believe that I am who I am. I'm very driven. I will be driven to whatever day somebody makes me stop. I'm passionate about early childhood education, and I want to be able to look back on my career and say I've made a difference to very young children, even in a very small way. And my 21-year-old self, keep going, you're on the right track.
If you had followed your childhood dream job, Errol, what would you be doing now?
I would be a nurse. Yeah, because my grandmother was a district nurse in Inishowen, and she delivered hundreds and hundreds of babies in the days where you went out to people's homes at 12 o'clock at night. And she lived with us at home, a really, you know, really kind of interesting background. We were brought up with her, and So I have very fond childhood memories of her packing her little black bag and heading off to deliver a baby, and then in the morning asking her over breakfast, you know, what was the baby? Was it a boy? Was it a girl? You know, all this kind of stuff. So, of course, all I ever wanted to be was a nurse. And I suppose, you know, the two careers do kind of interconnect, but I was really interested in the power of early education from I started my career. I remember after I had my third child, I decided to go back to education because I was an adult learner, and I started off by dipping my toe in the water by doing an O-level in child psychology many, many moons ago in the Northwest College. And I found it fascinating. It just opened up this whole thing about, you know, children's attachments, how children learn, what shapes a child in their very formative years. And then I went on then and did a degree in early childhood education and ended up doing a master's in educational management. So I'm through and through early years, and it will always be what I do in some form or another.
One thing I want to ask you, something you mentioned earlier, Avril, the amount of importance that is attached to the academic part of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you see, to me, Ciarán, this makes absolute sense, because if you try to teach a child to read, for example, without first enabling the child to love reading, that child will never love reading. It's like I always say in my training courses, it's like, I don't know if the same for you, but I remember being at school and we were made learn Irish poems off by heart. And you stood up and you learned the Irish poem, and you stood up on the Friday or whatever day you had to recite it, and you recited that poem. And a week later, you will not remember that poem. And today you won't remember it. And the reason you don't remember it is because you didn't see a value in it, and you didn't connect with it. So, for example, for all those people that are trying to teach very young children to read and write very early, don't bother. Teach them to love books. Teach them to respect books. Teach them about the love of learning, and then learning will come. And this is what we are not, by not investing in quality professional early education, we are missing that. And then we are trying to fix it later down the line when children become disenfranchised with education.
So, in effect, what you're proposing is a culture change early on?
It's there. The sector's there. The sector are educated, willing and able to do this. If we could just take away all the nonsense that surrounds it, if we could fund it properly and take it seriously as a public good.
And finally, Avril, what lies ahead for yourself and your business?
Well, hopefully, now that I've started to build out the team, as I say, I've got somebody looking after Mosaic here now in Ireland. So over the next, I would imagine, 6 to 8 months, my head is very much going to be in international research, because I don't just want to take Mosaic to a country because I can make loads of money from it. Obviously, that would be ideal, and maybe if my accountant hears this interview, will be appalled at that. But really, I'm really interested actually in Southeast Asia, because they are at a point in their policy development with early education where they're just now seeing the benefits of early education. And they won't do what Ireland did, where they throw a small amount of money at it every year for 20 years. They will be able to put the money behind it to make this happen. So really, they're where we were policy-wise about 10 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, in that they're recognising that early education is essential for holistic, a holistic, well-rounded person as an adult. And they're really investing in it. And I would really love to be in there early with Mosaic in that kind of progressive culture, as opposed to trying to sell Mosaic to a country that is still not taking early education seriously.
Errol McMonagle, founder and CEO of Mosaic, thanks today for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thanks a million.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Errol McMonagle and Stephen Perry. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with the LYIT Faculty of Business. Do you want to learn how to tap into unprecedented opportunities in the food and drink industry? Then join our Higher Diploma in Food Product Innovation and Enterprise. This course is 100% online and co-funded by Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Visit lyit.ie for more information.